Welcome, visionaries and revolutionaries, to the Aligned Empire podcast, your gateway to building a movement of change, wealth, and impact. I'm your host, Drea Brown. This podcast is for the visionary woman who is ready to master the energetic frequencies of money, business, and herself, and is ready to expand into a frequency, life, and empire that mirrors her highest purpose. Together, we are rising up and reshaping the world as we know it, defying limitations and boldly embodying our highest selves. You're not just listening to another podcast. You're embarking on an epic journey. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Aligned Empire podcast. I am super, super excited to bring to you today an amazing, incredible person that I have been connected to for at least a few months now. Every time I talk to her, my energy is like exploded and feels incredible. And I know she does that for her clients as well. And for honestly, anyone that enters her path. And she has such a unique story that I actually just read on Facebook yesterday. So Miss Jenna Faye Madden is a soul evolution guide, new earth architect, and seven-figure leadership and business mentor for conscious female entrepreneurs. As the CEO of Soul Meet Strategy, she guides feminine leaders to ascend onto their highest timeline, embody their full magic, and to scale their soul business sustainably. Jenna is a podcaster, best-selling author, international speaker, and community cultivator, known for her impactful brand and movement for conscious women around the world. With unwavering dedication, she pioneers the path of new earth embodiment, inspiring women to create abundance and reach unprecedented levels of self-liberation, soul expression, and success. Oh my gosh, Jenna, you are such a badass. Like, and it's crazy, you guys, because she is the most genuine, down-to-earth person you would never know that she is like uber successful. Oh my God, you're just amazing. So Jenna, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Drea, so much for having me here. And honestly, I feel like we're, 2 minutes into this and I already feel like I'm going to cry / you're a great hype woman. So I'm pumped for this.
It's only truth hype, honestly. Like, it feels so incredible, honestly, to be in your energy all the time. And I feel beyond grateful to have you on the podcast. So I would love to hear your story. Like I said yesterday on Facebook, I read that story and it was like, sometimes you see these people and they're leading such a beautiful movement and they're leading so many incredible people around the world. And you just never know. You just don't think about it sometimes where they started. And when I read your story, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting goosebumps, but it just like hit me really hard. And so I would love to hear your story now on how you got to being a seven-figure leader to where you are right now and where it started and just everything. I just want to know everything.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pumped to share. And you know, it's funny because this week has felt like story time week or something, because of course I love to share stories in my content, but this week it was a theme or something because I shared a post that was really in regards to like sisterhood wounding and my personal journey. And then the next day I realized and remembered that it was my 7-year anniversary from leaving corporate. And then another story was there to be shared. And, you know, it really has been a journey. You know, when I think of specifically on the entrepreneur path and side of things, like I said, it's been 7 years since I quit my corporate job, which is crazy to think about because in some ways that feels like a totally different lifetime ago. And in other ways, it feels like, wow, is time collapsing? That's already been 7 years. It's crazy to me. And I'm also so proud of myself from who I was then, because that version of me, which, you know, feels like in so many ways the beginnings of my story and path, because that's the catalyst, you know, that led to growing my business and my brand, was this huge couple of years of transformation where I had left a abusive relationship. I'd been a stepmom for 7 years with my ex, who I'd met when I was 17, and we immediately moved in together and we were in a legal custody proceedings for his son. And I left that relationship, which did end up in a restraining order with him, after realizing I was going to be a single mom to somebody else's kid. And also at that point was selling weed. I was stoned all the time. I was working at this job that didn't fill me up. I was really overweight, like just completely living a different life. And yeah, I just started making changes. Honestly, the big one was leaving that relationship. And I read a quote from something on Instagram earlier where it was like, maybe you don't need more strategy in your business. Maybe you need to leave your toxic ass partner. You know, and I think that is actually the catalyst for so many women in business, even if they don't see it at the time. So for me, yeah, I'm like, you know, I wasn't thinking about business. But when I left that relationship, and then I started to focus on my health, and I lost a lot of weight. And through that, got into network marketing, which I think for so many of us is a gateway drug to entrepreneurship and coaching and healing and all that. And that exposed me to community and personal development and leadership. I started traveling, going to different conventions and things, and just became a little sponge, really, where I was like, whoa, there's other people who are living freedom-oriented lives and doing this. So I got really inspired, even though I was still in my job at that point. But then kind of hit a point where even though I hadn't had a lot of on paper success yet, I just literally couldn't sell my soul anymore in a corporate job that really did not feel good. So I made that leap 7 years ago from the time we're recording this with really no plan, no savings, you know, still in crazy debt from my past relationship, and was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and definitely learned a lot in terms of ups and downs and lessons along the way. But I remember from that post that popped up on my Facebook memories, one of the things I put at the end of the post was basically failure is not an option, and fuck fear was literally what I wrote on that post. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like, you know, that's been the path where it hasn't always been easy, but I've continued and found more alignment within it, which has led to, you know, having a really beautiful business doing what I love. And there's still lots more to learn, but it really feels, you know, like I've kind of arrived in terms of alignment and doing what I really want to be doing in the world.
And I can just see that from what you post. I mean, I think I see every one of your posts. Facebook shows me the algorithm. They know what I like.
Hey, Facebook.
Just like honestly seeing you post. Yeah, really. It's just, it's really inspiring. Also, when I read your story yesterday, knowing that, I mean, it sounds like you had a fear of being seen, which I know a lot of my audience has, but not my audience, everyone in this world. I think we're really going through a point of evolution of we need to be seen. Like we need to be seen because every single one of us is meant to activate a specific set of people. And so how did you get from going from a more introverted, shy, just person who had a lot of self-doubt and insecurities and all of this to how who you are right now? Because really, when I see the leader that you are now, it's truly incredible. So where's the gap or where's that bridge and how did you get here?
Thank you. Yeah, the first thing that popped into my head was therapy. But I think that was just maybe that was phase one. Because for context, before I even started my business, from we'll say teenage years into like early adulthood, I actually had really extreme paranoia as well, which honestly I think was from the suppression of my spiritual gifts as a kid, where I just didn't know how to make sense of the supernatural. And then that mixed with, you know, just parents and adults around me being like, watch out for serial killers, watch out for, you know, murderers. I was actually legitimately really paranoid, where I couldn't be home alone. I couldn't shower without someone in the bathroom. I couldn't blow dry my hair alone. Like I was scared all the time in this like perpetual fear state. So I feel like I know fear really well. And I put myself through a lot of therapy, literally paid for it myself, started going when I was like 15 or 16, all the way into my early 20s. So I feel like there was a lot of healing, but I'm also so grateful because really who my therapist was and who I manifested was really more of a secret, maybe in the closet spiritual mentor. So even though I'm paying her as a therapist, I actually feel like she, you know, she's taking me through hypnotherapy and this thing and that thing. So she helped me a lot. And then I feel like I got comfortable being uncomfortable, where, you know, we're all in these uncharted territories that we're navigating anytime we're growing and shifting and changing and evolving. And I kind of hit a point where that became more familiar to me than to just stay the same, you know, whether it was in my job or my relationship. And I feel like it was also linked to my intuition of being willing to listen to that inner voice that I had suppressed for a really long time that was guiding me in different ways, different directions. And also just through really, really messy action. I get my Facebook memories from 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago of me doing little Facebook lives, and I had no idea what I was doing. Nobody was watching. A lot of them, I go back to them to this day and I see it was like my mom who commented. So I'd be on there umming and awing and making no coherent sense with zero plan of what I was doing on these little live trainings where I'm like, hi, my name's Jenna. Oh, hi, Laura. So nice to have you. It was my mom's name as a viewer today. So I was like never afraid to just go for it, even though it really was uncomfortable. But I was like, the alternative in my mind didn't seem better. So I just chose the uncomfortable but better for me path, I feel like, as well along that journey.
Is that what you would tell somebody who is in that fear state right now in their entrepreneurial journey? Is it just taking that first step? Or what would you tell them if you could put a little, well, you can put a little bug in their ear right now because they're literally listening to this. So what would you tell them? Hello, amazing, wonderful people. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. And if you are, could you please share this with someone who you really, truly think needs it or would enjoy listening to these type of podcast episodes? It would really mean the world to us. Our team works so hard on these episodes, and we really try to provide the most value we possibly can for our listeners. So a few ways that you can share is take a screenshot of this episode and share it into Instagram. We would love to tag you in our stories. And a few other ways is sharing exactly what you loved about this episode and what truly made an impact in your life. And one last thing, if you are enjoying this podcast episode, if you could leave a review for us, that would be everything. It really does help our podcast, and it also helps other beautiful, wonderful people find our podcast as well. So thank you so much, and let's get back to the show.
Yeah, if I could plant a seed, I would say micro actions are everything. And sometimes, yeah, we make those big life-defining quantum leaps, you know, of leaving a relationship or quitting a job, and those things are really significant. But sometimes I feel like we don't give credit to all the small moves that we make leading up to that and on the other side of that, and those are just as important, and the magnitude of those can really set the trajectory for us just as much as those kind of big on paper decisions that we make. So I would really encourage anyone on an entrepreneurial path or even just in a life sense that if there's something that isn't feeling good for you in your life and you know at least the direction that you want to go, then just start taking small actions to make some level of change for yourself and let things solidify as a result of that. Because yeah, for me, I never really did have a plan. I think that's a big thing too, is I didn't have a plan, but I was willing to just take action in that direction. You know, even when I quit my job, it was like, okay, cool, now I have this booming coaching business. You know, I made like little moves. I became a personal trainer for a year. I was doing Reiki sessions out of my basement. I was doing all these little things that compounded into something a lot bigger.
Amazing. Yeah, definitely. And it really is. I've noticed that for myself too, where I felt fear, and you feel it's so heavy and it's so massive and it's so paralyzing. But it really is. You just post. Maybe you're not comfortable posting a video yet. Maybe you're not comfortable posting a photo. Maybe you're not comfortable really posting anything except a quote from somebody else. And then you post a quote from somebody else. And it's just that one step that just pushes your name in front of people. And you're like, oh, shit, that actually wasn't that bad. And then you get a little bit more confidence and you slowly grow that confidence and you slowly continue posting and posting until all of a sudden, lo and behold, you're posting full length videos on YouTube, or you're posting, you have a podcast and you're really getting seen. And it really is just, it's I love what you said, the micro movements. It really is the micro movements and the action and confirming to you who you really are deep down, which, you know, we're beings that don't have fear, that we don't have any fear, none. So I love that. And so as far as the seven figures goes, what was the ultimate, because it sounds like you at first, which I totally resonate with this as well, I was 100% doing this, we ping pong between different things. So we don't know what we want to do, especially, I mean, it's totally different from the corporate world. You know, that's where I came from as well. I came from the corporate world. But then you get in business, you're like, okay, well, Reiki, and then personal trainer, and then, because everything feels so right, and there's so many gurus everywhere, and telling you, you know, this is the best path. And, you know, you kind of get into that mindset. But what was the ultimate shift for you when it went from, okay, all of these things, and then how did you find alignment into what you're doing right now in being the seven-figure leader?
Ooh, I love this. I love this question. Yeah, and then you made a really good point in there too around moving into the unknown. There was something you said in there that really sparked the thought for me of that we have to program ourselves that we don't die on the other side of doing these things, literally, because I feel like when we're in the unknown, our body, our somatic system is literally preparing us for death, and we associate anything unknown with literally death. And I think there's like the pre-programming from witch wounds and all that kind of stuff that comes down as well, where literally, especially I think as women, when we're moving into the unconventional, we face off with this really real fear of death. And so we have to look at the other side of that as well, which I always call the vision beyond the vision, where it's not about having all the plans laid out, but actually kind of going, okay, well, if I post on Facebook, what's next? You know, what would, if I just put my first post up, what's on the other side of that? And then we're like, oh, well, I would probably do it again. I'd feel a little more confident because I put it out. And then we start thinking, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to die on the other side of this. And so then we can move more towards it versus when sometimes we feel like we're doing all these things, but it's not really materializing and moving us forward. But I feel sometimes we're pushing away the very things that we say that we want and that we're working towards. So I feel like that's a big factor in all of this. And I mean, the relevancy in terms of my business, finding that alignment and growing to seven figures was because I stopped letting that really control me in terms of the fear and got real with myself and really started to look at what was on the other side of these things if I wanted to play bigger, so to speak. And I realized through that too, I was doing a lot of things, but maybe none of them that effectively as well. So as that was all happening, I streamlined a lot. And I realized through it too that I am the most in my genius zone when I'm helping other leaders, helping them in their leadership, but also helping them as well in their business. Because so many women along the path ask me, hey, how did you quit your corporate job? How did you do these things? And how can I do it as well? And it's such a strong belief for me that the more leaders and coaches that are succeeding, the bigger the ripple of impact. And so even though I love doing healing sessions and things with women, I found my energy and my excitement really navigated more into the business side of things, which made such a big impact as well.
Amazing. So it sounds like obviously always energetics comes into play, right? Mm-hmm. And then the streamline. And so what are some of the things, if I was a coach sitting here, or if I was an entrepreneur, service provider sitting here listening to this conversation, what are some of the things, actionable things that someone could take if they are kind of maybe jumping around, or maybe they are not only jumping around from job to job or business to business idea, but if they're jumping from, you know, this social media platform, maybe they're just jumping around in general. Maybe it's a different offer. They're offering different offers every week or different launches. Like, what could you say to somebody and then for them to get from maybe, you know, $50,000 a year to where you are today? What's the energy? Like, what's the energy behind it, the streamline, or what are some of the steps?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, the first thing is I think a little bit more around the streamlining side of things. So less is usually more. And I'm as multidimensional as they come and multi-passionate. And I feel like so many women are in that wheelhouse too, where we do have a lot of gifts. We have a lot of skills. We have a lot of ideas that are coming in. But I've also realized we have to have a flexible, in my opinion, like not too rigid, but still a clear direction of where we want to take ourselves and what are we creating. Because some of us want to have a business that has a lot of different offers and it's really volume based. Some of us, you know, really just want to go deep with a handful or two of clients, which could create totally different business models. And this is where I feel like things get messy, where a lot of us are kind of doing a little bit of all of the things. So I feel like just using our discernment and intuition first off of what kind of business do I actually want to have? And I love asking the question, if nobody told me how it should be done, how would I approach this? How would I do it? How would I create it? Because in this echo chamber online, oftentimes we don't even realize it, but we've just taken all these little bits and bobs of how it should be. And I know from my own experience, there's been many times I've run even programs and things where in hindsight, they were good and people had results, but I kind of just did it because a coach or whoever at the time was like, you should make a 6-month program or you need a 6-week program, you know, and just creating things thinking I needed to. So that's a big piece. And also realizing, I think too, that ideas sometimes are just meant to be on the shelf. Like, they're great ideas and I think they present themselves to us because we're capable of bringing them to life, but then it can easily go back into this doing all these things but not that effectively kind of piece. So that to me is kind of like riding the line, and it's a bit of an art in itself. But I personally feel like if having a profitable business is actually one of the key pieces of the vision, which I feel like for most business owners it probably hopefully should be, then we want to get a couple things actually working, in my opinion. And so that was a big thing for me, was to be okay with the fact that some things just needed to be on the shelf for a little bit so I could get other things actually moving, actually working. And this could be in terms of marketing sales for offers, but even in terms of like what platforms are we marketing on. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to blog and vlog and TikTok and this and that, but they're not really being consistent with any of them. And then they feel like social media doesn't work for them, versus if we double down on one or two, even three platforms, usually we're going to see a lot more results. So that was a big thing for me, is like, look at my data, look at what's actually working. Where are my clients coming from so I can double down on that? What people are resonating with my content on what platforms? How can I create more of that content? And let things be a little easier, because it's so easy to overcomplicate things. So I cut my offers easily in half as I grew and scaled my business, yet I was able to work with more clients than ever before because things were really clear as well in business.
I love that you balance to the strategy, the energetics, the alignment with everything, because I feel like the majority of spiritual entrepreneurs don't really emphasize the strategy. They think if they put something out there and it feels really good, it's going to go somewhere. But it really is that beautiful blend of the masculine and the feminine in terms of business, with like the masculine being the strategy, the feminine being that creative flow and alignment. So how do you balance those? Because I really think you just from what I see, have perfected it.
Wow. Well, that's a huge compliment. So first off, thank you. And wow, I mean, feminine, masculine, I don't claim to be the expert of experts, but there is so much I feel I could say on this. So even just a little bit around masculine, feminine, because it is, in my opinion, such a key piece in our business. And I know it's a buzz topic of things, but I also feel like the actual implementation and knowledge amongst us in this field is still often not that high. And I know I still have more to learn as well, but what has really made a difference for me is looking at and really implementing an approach that does weave in and balance and harmonize, I think is a good word, for masculine, feminine energy. Because I see, and I'm guessing you've probably seen this with clients too, that oftentimes we're really extremely in one or the other. I see a lot of women who have left corporate, started their business, and they swing to one extreme or the other, where they're still really in this like hyper masculine doing mode, where they feel like they're only successful and worthy based on their numbers, based on their stats, based on their sales, based on their input. And so it's not really serving them, and they're not feeling empowered, and they're still operating in the only way that they've ever really known. But then I also see the opposite too, where there's a lot of women where they completely rebel. This was me at first, where I'm like, I don't need strategy, like pricing. I don't need to think, like, I don't want to have to think about much of anything. I just want to show up for my clients. And then I feel like a lot of us get a little universal smackdown through that, realizing that, you know, as nice as that all sounds, if we want to be in this industry, even if we have the best team and stuff in place, there's still a level of needing to be a brand and putting ourselves out there in order to have clients who then want to work with us because they can feel us and connect with us. So, you know, for me, learning that and understanding that and really applying it in all aspects. I think even in marketing, a lot of the time we're spending so much energy in one or the other, where I see a lot of women where they're just like channeling their posts, which is awesome. And it's pure source channel content coming through from their heart. And I love that. But there's no strategy. They're not thinking about their call to action. They're not thinking about, who is this content for? Is this a journal entry or is this marketing content? And is this something that is actually moving people along the client journey with them, so they can do really ultimately what I think all of us want to do, which is work with our clients and really serve them and help them? So sometimes I find that's happening, but other times we're trying to micro manage and micro mother our business so much that we're kind of in this hyper masculine energy of like doing, that we're not actually letting our audience respond to what we're doing. So if we're, say, putting up a marketing post for an offer or sending out an email or putting something on our Insta stories, but then we're constantly like refreshing the notifications and just checking it and checking it, I feel like energetically we're like all in on it, that we're not creating any space for people to now step into their decision making and their ability to respond. And so this is something in the energetic realm where I see this happen a lot, where women are like, I don't know what's not working. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. People are looking, you know, people have said they're in, but then they ghost, but they're like stalking them, like low key, and instead of like moving the energy, you know. And we're actually kind of suffocating our audience sometimes through our lack of trust to now let them make the decision and respond and kind of be magnetized to us. So I do feel like there's this constant ebb and flow of masculine, feminine energy. When we're on sales calls, sometimes we need to be that kind of firm, loving force, you know, never manipulating or pressuring people, but like kind of standing for people and holding the space. And sometimes we also need to be really soft and receptive and caring, you know, and be able to read the room essentially of what's needed. And I think that ripples out into marketing, client conversations, our own relationship to ourselves. And I think, like me, you've also burnt out. And I know that's such a real thing for women too, where you can burn out, I think, even just being hyper feminine. It's not even being hyper masculine. But if we're too extreme and we're not balanced, we just literally can't sustain it. So our energy reserves go down. So that was a little bit of a tangent, but I just feel like it's such a relevant topic.
Absolutely. And you're totally right. It's like, it really is that pendulum of too masculine, too feminine, too masculine, too feminine. And it is, it's just like, it continues swaying. You're 100% right. Also, where you can be too feminine and absolutely burn out 100%, because you're only in that creative flow and you're just giving and giving and giving and giving. And all of a sudden, and there's no focus, there's no clarity, and you're not going to get clients that way. You just really won't, because it, like you said, there is no strategy. There's no strategy behind it. And there's almost like no oomph, real power in oomph. And so I think that's such an important thing to really, for a lot of women listening to this call, to realize you really have to blend in that masculine energy and that strategy. It's a lot of it is going to be strategy with business. I mean, it's energetics and strategy. I mean, that's exactly obviously what you teach. And so how, for you, what are some of the best ways that you balance this energy in your business? Like, do you start to see some of the signs that, oh shit, I'm too much in my masculine, or I'm too much in my feminine? Or do you have maybe like more masculine days that you run your business, or how does that work?
Ooh, this is a good question. Yeah. For me, I feel like I'm pretty aware of it now through these past experiences, but in kind of like the practical things that I personally do, for one, it is a bit of kind of time blocking in the calendar to have a level of space dedicated for both. Like for me, one of the big things is my mornings. I have a completely different day, a completely different week, completely different results. And I've learned this over many, many years, because I kept doing the opposite, where I would get up and I would get on my phone and I would check my notifications and be getting back to clients, be getting back to team. I mean, it was really only a few years ago that people could book in with me literally 24/7. Like, you know, I wanted to be available for my clients. So if you want to book in with me at 3 a.m., I'm getting my alarm, I'm getting on if you're on the other side of the world. Like, I was so available which honestly really didn't help. Yes, okay, I guess I made maybe some sales, but honestly, it was that case too of like pushing things away from being too far in one side. So I mean, on like a practical level, my schedule was a big thing. So for me personally at this point, and it's been like this in the realm of this anyways for maybe 2 years now, I really only coach 6 days a month. And that's really big for me, where I do Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 weeks out of the month. And I get in a bit of a masculine mode those days, where anything else I do above and beyond my sessions those days is like bonus. You know, if I feel creative and I pop up a post or something, okay, great. But those days I'm pretty structured. I'm really present. And I really feel, generally speaking, when we're coaching our clients or being strategists for our clients or even like healing sessions for our clients, we're channeling typically a lot of masculine energy. It's like we're creating the container for the client to be in their feminine expression, to be held, to be supported, to receive the structure, the accountability, like all these things. So those energies are like pretty masculine, whether clients and coaches and healers, like if we want to admit it or not. I'm like, I feel like generally when we're facilitating, we're more masculine, creating that container. So those days are like pretty masculine for me. And I also set boundaries for myself in terms of whether it's those days or any days to take the lady balls off, as I like to think of it, at the end of my work day. Because otherwise I would just keep flowing, because I do love my work. And I could easily be 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night and I'm still doodling around doing stuff. So for me, whether it's at 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 8 o'clock, like when I am done, it's like a line in the sand, I'm done. And I always do some sort of activity to kind of bring me back into balance. For me, that's usually a little walk in nature without my phone or a bubble bath. Like it doesn't have to be anything extreme, but I need 20 minutes to just decompress from my day, usually tell my husband all about my day. And then after that, it's kind of like no more work talk, which sometimes has actually been hard because I really do love my work, but I had to set some parameters for myself so I wasn't always in it. And part of that goes back to what I was saying, which is my mornings, where I need to have at least 1 to 2 hours, preferably 2 in the mornings, like with not thinking about work. Maybe I'm journaling, envisioning, or looking at my to-do kind of plan for the day, but I'm not actually on my computer doing business stuff for the first couple hours of my day so that I can actually still treat my business like a business. Because a lot of us are getting so hyper masculine and just doing, but then we just feel like this trapped employee in our own business. And a lot of the time we're not even really truly properly treating the business in that state like a business. We're just in this perpetual reaction stage of just doing stuff. So it made me a lot more intentional. And a big part of this whole kind of schedule and approach for me has been to equally prioritize time where, say, when I'm content creating, I'm like, I don't have like a huge checklist all the time. It's like, if I get 3 videos done during that time, great. Sometimes I'll film 30 videos during that time, you know, like I give myself a lot of flexibility in other ways to really be in my creativity, because I do feel like that is a part of the beauty of feminine essence in our business. One of the core areas is creativity and actually expressing ourselves, you know, recording podcast episodes. Like to me, those are feminine activities. And so are things relating to receptivity. Like I do Money Mondays, Financial Fridays in my business. And one is feminine Money Mondays, where it's more about visioning and being receptive and being open. And Financial Fridays are like structures and bookkeeping and, you know, looking at the numbers. And all of those things to me, when you kind of zoom out and look at a week or a month in review, you can see that there's like these really feminine things, these masculine things that happen throughout the week, but also within a day as well. So that's kind of my approach at this point, is create some distinct separation around these things and just acknowledge where are we actually building those things into our actual approach and our schedule, so that we do feel that there's a balance and that we're not only leading ourselves in one way, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. I absolutely love the blocking of I mean, you just have such defined boundaries of, hey, this is when I want to do my feminine work. This is when I want to do my masculine. So I can totally see how that obviously is going to keep you balanced and without on autopilot. It's like balanced on autopilot almost. And it's funny you set it up almost in a masculine way. It's like that support, right? That support structure. And then now you just allow that feminine to just fall into place throughout the week. So I love that. And I totally want to talk about your Mondays and now your Fridays and what those days look like for you. And I'm guessing, was Wednesday your recording day, or is that like when you create things, or is it kind of just all throughout the week when you create things? Because I know we're like talking on a Wednesday.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this too, I feel, and this is a good point, is some level of flexibility. Like I keep my coaching sessions pretty rigid on my Tuesdays, Thursdays, but doing interviews and my own content creation is Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. I try to schedule a lot of my interview kind of things, whether it's me on other people's or them online on Wednesdays, but of course there's some flexibility there. And my Mondays and Fridays, I really allow them to be a mix of what I call like CEO time of working for the business and then creative time. And sometimes I'll literally time block that, where for me personally, I mean, it's become more of a routine now, but it wasn't my favorite or most natural to want to do money management kind of stuff that's less sexy. So for me, I'm like, that's like the frog, you know, and typically on my Mondays and Fridays, like I said, it's a bit more natural now, but I would usually block off even just 30 minutes for those kinds of activities. So then I feel good and empowered and like, okay, like I'm putting in the energy to prioritize these things. And then from there, I often will have, if there's other things like, I don't know, having my team calls, if it's working on different procedures, working on different offer outlines, recording modules or content like for my clients, often that's happening on Mondays. And then bonus time in the afternoons if I'm working is content, which sometimes might be writing and scheduling emails for the week. It might be filming longer form videos to be spliced up. So I usually have some level of time. And then kind of depending on my Wednesday in terms of what other things do I have scheduled for potential collaborations and stuff, that's usually a day where I do some more content creation. And then Fridays is kind of like tying up loose ends, you know, because sometimes like this week is an example, is a totally weird week and I'm moving and getting back into digital nomad life. So it's been kind of a free for all. And I had a couple kind of longer weird days. You know, I saw clients on Monday, Tuesday this week because I'm moving on a Thursday. And so this is even the feminine energy and action where I'm not super rigid. I'm flowing and flexible with these things, but really allowing those Monday, Wednesday, Fridays for me to be kind of like flex days where I do still work. But, you know, if I need to go to an appointment in town or if I want to sleep in or, you know, it's just like other stuff to do, like it kind of gives me flexibility. And I'm not like most entrepreneurs, I feel, where, you know, right now, anyways, I don't have kids and my schedule is flexible. And I'm the kind of person where sometimes I'm really creative in the evenings. So even though I practice my removal of the lady ball energy so that I'm not just continuously thinking about business, sometimes that's not till 8 o'clock. Or 9 o'clock even at night. But sometimes I didn't actually start kind of getting into business mode until 1, 2, 3 o'clock that day because I went on a date with my husband or wanted to read my book, you know, or do something else. So I feel like having that really has been a key pillar for me to stay engaged and excited and consistent in my business. And even just within that, having structures where there's these basic, I call them guidelines, where there's these kind of minimum commitments that I've made with myself to do within my business. And it's up to me, you know, if I don't do it till Friday, then like, that's okay. Sometimes I do it on Monday, but this might be my commitment to send out at least one email per week, to have my meme drop that I put out, which is always popular on Instagram on Sundays. You know, like those are like minimum things that I'm like, yeah, I'm doing that every week, new podcast every Monday. But then outside of that, I'm not super hard on myself if I had a post go up 3 times that day or, you know, whatever it is, because there's minimums to be met, but there's flexibility as well.
Definitely. And is that what you recommend to your clients when they meet with you and maybe they are struggling with that masculine feminine balance in their business? Do you just say, hey, you know, maybe start time blocking your schedule and, you know, allow yourself to have feminine days or masculine days? Do you find that working for most people? Or does it just totally depend on the person?
I think there's some level of individuality, of course, but I would say as a generalization, it works pretty well for women in my experience. And, you know, like there can be differentiation where some people, you know, I have clients where, as an example, every morning, 4 or 5 days a week is client time. And then the afternoons is creative time. Like they don't like the idea of having, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays for clients. They're like, I want to see my clients every day. And I like mornings for that. Or I'm, you know, much more effective for content in the mornings. Once I've seen my clients, I'm not as focused on stuff. So I have some clients where they do that stuff in the mornings versus afternoons. So I feel like, you know, of course there's flexibility, but to me, either way, the structure is the same, where there's some level of structure that's happening here to keep us accountable. And so that we're, you know, I think this is a big thing. And even many of us who have been in our businesses for like a number of years still kind of get up and like get at our computer in the day. And we're like, so what am I up to? Like, what am I doing today? And then if we're just aimless and there's no direction, I always say when we hit resistance, we do more of what we know. So for a lot of people, this, you know, this results in them going into a freeze response or a distraction. You know, a lot of people start dinking around on Canva and just kind of going into avoidance from the things that are actually income generating activities, because we just don't know really what else to do. Or maybe we do, but we haven't really created a bit of a commitment and structure for ourselves. So we'll just kind of default to what is comfortable, even if it's not really effective. So I feel like these are the things that help us in a like a leadership perspective be committed to what actually is going to move the needle forward or make the domino, you know, have that trickle down effect for everything else that we're actually creating, to like zoom out into the bigger picture of things. And we just have to find a structure that we can actually commit to while being willing to like revisit it and make tweaks if it's actually not working and feeling aligned, but still giving it enough time to fly. Because I find in this industry, we're all pretty commonly guilty, I think, of doing things for like a day or a week and being like, well, that didn't work. That wasn't familiar and comfortable. So I guess, you know, that strategy isn't for me, but or this approach or the schedule. But I think most of us need 30, 60, even 90 days of consistency to actually see, like, does it work? Is it effective? How could I tweak it from here? So I think making commitments that we can let things roll long enough to see if it's actually going to be supportive to us or not is a piece of this as well.
Yeah. And with that, I would imagine you probably have a reflection day maybe once a, is that kind of once a week, or do you do that once a month, or is it just like an ongoing thing for you? And would you recommend that to someone else, just having a day of like, hey, what happened in the business this month or maybe even this quarter? And what can I do to moving forward to, because you, it really does sound like you love data still, even though you're energetic, you love data and you love to see where the efficiencies are and where you can streamline things even better. And, you know, obviously live in your masculine energy. So what would you say for that?
Yeah. Well, I feel like you kind of hit the nail on the head with that as well. And yeah, when I'm thinking about this and doing this, I do feel that we need to actually look at things. And for me, I do it mostly quarterly. Like I kind of reverse hack. So I spend the most time on it quarterly. I'm not a big annual visualizer kind of person or like a 5-year plan. Like sometimes I'll like to tune into it and be like, oh, how could it look? How would it feel? But really my more intentional marketing and business planning, visioning, reflecting is more in like a 90-day max, where I feel like I can actually connect into where am I going with it. So usually every quarter, what I do, and I actually do it with my husband, we usually try to go on a trip. It could be locally, it could even be like a staycation, but oftentimes we'll try to go book somewhere where we'll go on a 2 or 3 day trip once a quarter. And one of the days is for business reflection. And we have a lot of overlap in our businesses, so a lot of it we do it together, but we also do take some solo time where we basically just spend time, you know, going through the data, talking, visioning, reflecting, feedback for each other about our businesses, all of that. Then we do one day for our relationship, as well as like our personal vision and planning. And we spend that time together. And then we try to do like one day just to anchor it in, like doing something fun together. So I feel like that's always been like, for years now, a kind of a ritual and a rhythm that we've created, which has really, it's, you know, makes it fun to want to go and do those things and to actually explore and evaluate and, you know, just talk about all the different things. And then on a personal level, some of that's happening there, but I usually do an end of month kind of like bookkeeping, CEO, what worked, what didn't work. And I often end up sharing like a little live stream with my mastermind on this. So it kind of holds me accountable because I'm like, okay, well, I want to share the behind the scenes. So, you know, I'll actually sit down and really look at this stuff for myself. But I'm usually one of those people that's motivated by other people, hence doing the quarterly thing with my husband and stuff. So I think we all need to find and build our own systems and approach that kind of motivate us based on who we are as people. Like I've always been a self-starter, but I also am a people pleaser. So I feel like if there's other people involved, if it's healthy, it can be a good motivator for me. So I do that monthly. And then I also kind of do it daily and weekly. Like every Friday when I do my Financial Friday, I'm also looking at like marketing and how I felt, you know, I'm just reflecting in general. And I try to do that at the end of most days, you know, like how did I feel today about, especially if I'm doing new things. So I'm reflecting pretty often. I'm also not a huge journaler though, which is funny because I love creating journal prompts and exercises for people. But for me, unless I'm actually sitting down like monthly or quarterly, this is more of just in my head, self-reflection time to just think about things and just integrate. So that's been a really helpful for me just to have a kind of approach, you know, that's systematic in terms of doing it recurringly, but without a lot of specifics that I have to do during those things at the same time.
I love that. And then, so we talked about your financial, I love it's like Financial Fridays. And then you talk about Money Mondays. So what do your Money Mondays that's a hard word to say.
I know, it's
Money Mondays. I love it. But what do those look like? Is it manifesting? Is it visualizing? Is it just getting it into the energetics of the week? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So yeah, you kind of nailed it. Money Mondays to me is more of the energetics. I mean, there's some tangibility because I'll usually look at like, what am I selling this week? What are my intentions? I'm not a person who sets a lot of goals where I'm like, okay, I would want to or need to sign 10 clients this week or whatever, or make this amount of money. But I do like to more from a visualization perspective, just get curious like, oh, well, how would it feel to have some new clients come in? What would I have the capacity? You know, what am I interested in for this week? What's my sales focus for this week? So I use it more from a intention setting for the week. And also I usually listen to some sort of guided meditation, literally off YouTube or Spotify, usually more around abundance, receptivity, and just like getting my mind and my energy right for the week ahead. So I love just some sort of short little thing like that. I made playlists on Spotify, you know, which anyone can do, where I have a Money Monday playlist that has, I don't know, like 20 or 30 songs on it that all just are more in like the energetics, you know, to kind of like pump me up, open me up. So I'll like play that. Sometimes I'll do a little bit of journaling. Those are, you know, I keep it pretty simple. And I usually log into my bank accounts just to be continuing to break old patterns of like not wanting to look. So even if I'm not really doing like bookkeeping and stuff, just energetically, it's like log in, make sure I'm feeling like I'm present and connected into the numbers. And from there, yeah, it's more of like intentions for the week versus Financial Fridays. I have a different playlist for that one, which is more of like, you're a badass, getting stuff done kind of energy, less free flowing. And then those
like,
days.
Like, I am wealthy. I'm healthy. I'm rich. I am that bitch. Like,
exactly.
Or that new lobster song, like, give me pasta and lobster. Oh, yeah. I love it. You'll have to share those playlists with me, Jenna.
Yes. I totally will. Because yeah, Fridays, it's again, you know, like these are things again where unless it's the end of the month, I'm usually only spending 15, maybe 30 minutes doing this. And Financial Fridays is a lot more of like actually being in the numbers, like updating revenue spreadsheets, looking at things from my team, paying my team, like, you know, paying affiliates, like actually like doing things within the financial realm within my business, but also looking to at, and this kind of overlaps with Mondays too, but looking at like the bigger net worth kind of picture too, where it's not just my business. And that was a big identity piece for me is, you know, we have investments in other things. And I really have very minimal knowledge and the actual inner workings and portfolio of what we're doing with things like crypto. That's more my husband's arena, but he has his own Financial Friday. So I'm the one that does like a lot of our household stuff. So I usually give him a little update Fridays, but he also gives me an update on like investments and what he's doing on Fridays too. And that way too, I feel like I can go into the weekend just feeling like everything's tied up with a little bow, you know, and there isn't any like energy leaks or like things that haven't been looked at or addressed. And, you know, it's even just taking 2 minutes and going in the back end of like the payment processor, making sure everything looks correct. If there's, you know, a bounced payment or something, like making sure like everything's been kind of just like taken care of in that regard on Fridays so that I don't start a new week with things that are outstanding, things that haven't been looked at versus Mondays. It's like, yeah, let's kick this off with some fresh energy and get into the energy of it kind of days.
And so for Monday, it's really just committed to energetics. And do you have anything else scheduled within that Monday, or is it really just getting into that energy?
You know, Mondays, I mean, I do a lot of content creation on Mondays. So for me, my Money Mondays typically are like 30 minutes. So it's usually what I start my Monday with, which, you know, it depends on the day, but usually is like 9 or 10 a.m. once I've had a few hours to just wake up and be myself and not immediately put on the business hat. And then after that, yeah, it's usually flowing into other things. But then I feel like my vibe is right for the week, you know, and I've really kind of gotten back because I don't know about you, but sometimes even just a few days off, which are important and needed. And sometimes I do work on the weekends, but either way, I find that energetic slate of Mondays makes a really big difference for me to get back into my vision and the feeling of what I'm creating and the energy around it before I'm just doing content or doing things. So I have that direction. So to me, it's this like pinnacle piece of how to start my week, but then totally flowing from there into other things if there's other things on my radar, which usually is a creative person. There's always more things that I could do that day. But yeah, usually it's pretty creative after that, which I feel like is complimentary at the same time after doing a ritual or a practice like that. You know, and sometimes I'll do exercises like writing a love letter to money or, you know, writing something out and like burning it or, you know, doing little witchy things as well. So I feel like it's a good day for kind of ritual things as well and just doing little practices like that.
I love this so much. I'm literally going to adopt these. I am all about the alliterations. Yes, yes. I really, really love that. Yes, I'm just thinking about my own, because I think a lot of us will get into a rhythm that actually isn't a rhythm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll forget to do those energetic things and just have, I really love this whole conversation about time blocking and how, again, it's that masculine energy of time blocking. And then allowing our feminine to fit into that and be supported by that and allowing us not to, it really keeps us on track. And I can see how that really has made a huge difference in your business and it keeps you aligned and keeps you in flow and keeps you creative and keeps you happy, but also continues to make you money at the same time, like a lot of money. So it's like, it's so beautiful. I just love it. So
I love it. And you know, this is the structure piece because I'm sure there must be other people listening to this that can fall into what I've been totally guilty of and still catch myself. You know, I'm not perfect. But I would skip going pee. I would skip eating meals because I would just be so in it because I do love what I'm doing. And so the structure for me gives me the space to actually just be feminine or to be cooking in the kitchen or to just like relax and read a book. You know, I feel like most of us have started businesses, of course, because we want to help people and of course, because we want to make money. But also I feel like because we want a freedom-oriented lifestyle, whatever way that is for us. But, you know, typically it's a lifestyle-oriented business. But I feel like many of us forget to actually live our lifestyle while we're growing our business. And of course, there's a level of bootstrapping and grit that is required that sometimes people downplay, I think, in this industry. But also there's no reason why if we're growing our own business that we can't take a pee break or have a meal and enjoy ourselves because at that point, like how effective are we actually being, because I know I wasn't being that effective while I was like jittering with coffee like 6 hours straight without even standing, you know, my back's hurting. Like, I don't think that's my highest self to be bringing through, whether we're talking content or coaching. So that was a really big thing I realized, like, oh, I could soften by actually having some more structure, and my energy will actually be higher and my radiance will be higher by having a little bit more structure in my approach.
Amazing. Absolutely. And last question about the schedule part.
Yeah.
But what is your morning routine?
Great question. This is like a really good question, actually, Drea, because I mean, for a really long time, I didn't have one. And I literally hired a coach at some point to help me make a morning routine. And I had her meet with me to do Qigong and stuff in the mornings, because I just like didn't have one. And I was like, what would I even do with myself in the mornings? So now I would say it's actually really quite simple and fluid, but my mornings typically is first thing, pretty much as soon as I wake up, I like to do a workout. It's a total mindset thing, but if I don't do a morning movement, and sometimes this is literally like light yoga and stretching, sometimes it's like heavy weights, but if I don't do a workout in the morning, I'm pretty much guaranteed I'm not going to do a workout later in the day. This may be slightly different, you know, when I was a personal trainer and had my own trainer, because of that people-pleasing tendency, like if I have an appointment with a trainer or a class or something, I can work out at any time of the day. But if it's me being accountable to me, I am not going to want to go and work out in my house at 7 p.m. at night. So for me, it's a big energy bill to do some sort of movement in the morning. And if I'm not doing like a workout, it could even be taking my dog for a walk, like down our, you know, we've been on 5 acres for the last year. So even just like walking in and around the property, throwing the ball for him, but just moving in the morning is a big one. And from there, I like to do a little bit of a meditation. I'm not like one of those people that sits on a pillow for 30 minutes. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I like to even just listen to like a 10-minute guided meditation, just one that I find that resonates, whether it's on Insight Timer or YouTube or whatever. I like to just do a little bit of that. Like I said, I'm not a big journaler, but I try to do a little bit some days. Or some days I read. Like I give myself flexibility of kind of what activities per se I want to do during that time. But those are kind of some of my common ones. The movement is kind of the non-negotiable. And then the rest of it is kind of based on what I'm feeling that month. Or sometimes I'm going through like different workbooks or courses too. So it might be like a bit of learning time. I just went through this like big inner child healing workbook style book. So it was like a non-negotiable to spend 10 or 15 minutes working on inner child healing or going through different shadow work practices. So I use that too as kind of working on me kind of time. And sometimes too, I'll just sit by the fire and read a novel for 2 hours. So something in that realm. But you know, things that just fill my cup up is pretty much what is like the commitment there before I'm, you know, checking email notifications or things like that.
What an amazing way to start your day. And really you're starting it from literally overflow.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I love that so much. And Jenna, what is the legacy that you want to leave in this world?
Ooh, you have so many good questions. you know, if I really had to distill it down, I really feel in the simplest terms, it's to elevate the consciousness in humanity. I really feel, and when I think of the women that come to me, most of them hire me, say something along the lines of, I really knew I wanted you as my coach because we're on the same page about things in the world. And I don't claim to have all the answers, but I've definitely been willing to lean into my stronger points of view, and not even like in a political sense, but just sharing about the Great Awakening on Earth, sharing about spiritual stuff, speaking to that, because I really do feel like that is the bigger mission and legacy that I'm here to create. And I feel like how to do that is in tandem with helping women have successful businesses, because I feel like the more we have personal freedom, self-sovereignty, self-mastery as leaders and as creators, like the bigger ripple effect that has, which I do feel like is a big reason why I moved into more leadership business oriented work, because to me it is creating a legacy to help other women have tangible success while stepping into like their highest expression in their leadership as well, which I zoom out and I think, wow, like this is actually really changing the standard of, you know, what is our world.
You're doing such an amazing job at that, honestly.
Thank you.
You already know I creep on you all the time. So you're really doing, it's literally exactly what you're already doing. So how beautiful.
Thank you.
So Jenna, where can people find you? Where do you hang out?
Yeah, I definitely do hang out. I hang out online. So even though I have those morning routines, I'm definitely on and around the interwebs. So I am mostly on Facebook and Instagram. I'm in other places as well. But if anyone's listening and you want to be friends, which I do like making actual new friends. So if you want to send me a friend request, if you look me up on Facebook, send me a message and let's be friends. Or if you find me on Instagram, same thing, send me a message so I can follow you back and connect. Those are really the main places outside of my podcast, which we have a great episode with you. By the time people are listening to this one, yours will be live. So that's super exciting because we had a really great chat over there as well. And that's one of the other main places that I find myself hanging out online.
Amazing. Yeah. Go check out our podcast. Is it Soul Meets Strategy, right?
Yeah. Soul Meets Strategy, the podcast. Perfect. Yeah.
Yep. Amazing. Yeah. Go check out our podcast. I remember you were literally one of my favorite people I've ever been interviewed by. And I've been interviewed a lot over the past few months. So it was so cool. So yeah, go check out our podcast. Go send her a DM on Instagram or Facebook and let her know, hey, what did you like about this conversation? Or hey, maybe something you didn't like. I could imagine that. But yeah, like go let her know. Go hit her up. Really, definitely you guys go follow her because I unfollow almost every single person on Facebook, Jenna, and I have not done that. And I will not do that.
I just
love reading your posts. Yes, you're in the follow club. And that's a huge deal for my Facebook, really. I follow, like, unfollow almost everybody. So that's a really big deal.
That's why you're seeing so much of me.
I know. I'm literally every time I pull up my Facebook, it's Jenna, and I am not disappointed. So
I love it.
Well, thank you so much, Jenna. I really appreciate your energy and your passion and honestly the legacy you are already leaving in the world. Like, you're already living it right now. So it's so beautiful to see the leader who you are and just leading women into the new earth. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me and for creating this kick-ass podcast and platform. I'm so excited for everyone to listen to this episode, and make sure you go binge all the other episodes after you're done listening to this one, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much. And we'll leave all of Jenna's links down below. So make sure you go check her out as well. So thank you, everybody. And I will talk to you very soon, Jenna.
And with that, we come to the close of yet another epic journey of the Aligned Empire podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the frequency of your limitless potential. Each episode is a code to unlock your unique energetic frequencies of money, business, and your aligned empire. If you feel this episode would resonate with others, please share it forward, creating a ripple effect throughout the universe. Make sure to subscribe to continue this journey of transformation with us. Join us again next week as we continue to rise together, joining a movement that is changing the world. This is Drea Brown, your guide on this journey, signing off.